Amen. Well, let's go in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. For those of y'all that have been coming for some time know that me and Minton are tag teaming the specific individual cases of healing in the Gospels. Amen. And we found out that there's about 25 individual cases of healing where we got either the person's name, what their infirmity was, how they approached Jesus, how Jesus ministered to them. Out of all the different examples, out of the thousands upon thousands of people that Jesus healed, we have these 25 cases of healing to teach us what? How to receive and how to minister healing. In other words, these examples are hand-selected by the Holy Spirit to teach us how it works in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And I'll tell you, this is something that I've come to learn. It's probably one of my number one things that I like to emphasize is you do not have to go through life guessing how God is going to provide for you. God has given you the Word of God that tells you exactly how He does things. And the Bible says He changes not, right? So if He did it this way 2,000 years ago, that's the way He's doing it today in 2026. Amen? Amen? So Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that's why we're studying these things, so that we can learn. Not just so that we can accumulate head knowledge, but so that we can understand how to be like one of these people to receive our healing, how to be like Jesus to minister this healing. Amen? Now, the last time I taught 2 weeks ago, we talked about blind Bartimaeus. And we found out that Bartimaeus actually had another blind man with him. If you study all the accounts of the Gospels and you harmonize them, there was actually another guy with him, but Bartimaeus was more of the alpha blind guy. He's the one that everybody was focused on. He was probably the real loud one. Amen? That would be like you, Julia. Wasn't planning on saying that, but that was great time in there. We can just start calling Julia Bart. Amen? But no, there was two blind men in this situation, right? But there are another example in the Gospels of multiple blind men. And one of the things we need to understand is back in society of that day, people that were sick and infirm, they didn't have all the government-assisted programs that we have. Back in those days, if you were a blind guy, if you were a leper, if you were this or that, you hung out together with other people that were infirmed. Birds of a feather flock together, right? And so the blind people would hang out together. So it shouldn't surprise us that we have multiple cases where these guys were hanging out together begging and asking of the Lord. And this is another one of them. In fact, this seems to be one that kind of coincides with another two blind guys. But the fact is, it's also talked about in Matthew's gospel. So unless Matthew was very old when he wrote this gospel and tended to repeat his stories, like old people tend to do, this is two separate accounts. I'm throwing a lot of rocks today, aren't I? Praise the Lord. I wasn't looking at you when I said that. I've learned better than to do that. Amen. All right, so these are two blind men again here in this situation. I want you to notice in this story what happens, and we're going to start in verse 27. This is the healing of the two blind men. Notice that it says in verse 27 that when Jesus departed from there, now you always need to ask the question, what was there? Well, if you harmonize the Gospels, you find out this was the place where Lazarus lived. So he departed from that area, from his friends that lived there, Mary and her sister and so forth, Martha. And he departed from there, and two blind men followed him. Okay? Now, this is the real-life example of the blind leading the blind. You heard that phrase before? I mean, can you imagine what's happening? These two blind guys, instead of just... Now, you understand, blind people were not just up walking around then. They were seated in a certain area because why? You'd stub your toe, you could fall down, you could hurt yourself, all this different stuff. So you'd sit there and you would beg and ask for alms, right? In this case, they got up from where they were and they started going somewhere together. Now, again, Why is this important to get? Because with these birds of a feather that flock together, it shows us how important it is to associate yourself with other people that are like-minded pursuing the same goal. I can only imagine these two blind guys get up. They're sitting down over here and they get up and they're heading this direction and one of them starts bumping into a tree. And he says, "All right, Bill, no, don't quit, man. Keep on coming with me." And then over here, Keith gets a little bit frustrated because he keeps stubbing his toe on the rocks. And the other guy says, "Oh, no, man, let's keep going." So they're encouraging one another to continue to pursue the goal. So what does that teach us? It's important for you to have good faith buddies, as you've heard Minton and myself both mention here, that you can encourage each other with. And don't associate yourself with people that are going to just tell you what you want to hear. That's a big issue, is that every time everybody wants to get around people that make them comfortable. Sometimes you need to have people that tell you what you need to hear. Amen? And so in this case, I can see that happening with these two blind men as they got up and followed the Lord. Now, the word that's used for followed here means to follow in a purposeful or deliberate manner. Amen? A purposeful or deliberate manner. Now, how many of you know following the Lord is a principle you see throughout the Gospels? Isn't this what He would call all of His disciples to do? He said two words to them most of the time, and what was it? Follow me. So what I'm seeing here is there is a direct tie to one's willingness to deliberately and purposefully follow the Lord above anything else, amen, and then getting their miracle. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus would say, it's a confusing passage of Scripture to some people, I think it's Matthew 13, where it'll talk about that Jesus would have His disciples come to Him and say, "Why do you speak to all the world out there, all these people that are coming to your meetings in parables, but you speak to us plainly? Why do you explain it to us?" And He said, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, this is the way I'm sharing it," right? Who was the them that had been given the right to have these things explained to them and they could understand the truth? Disciples. So I say it this way, if you're a disciple of the Word, and Jesus is the Word, right? If you follow the Word and you deliberately and purposefully pursue the truth of God's Word, you press in to understand it, you come to know it, then it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That is the person to whom truth and revelation is opened up to, amen? And how many of you know the truth will make you free. If you continue in this truth, it'll make you free. Amen? And that's what these guys had. So they started following the Lord. But I want you to be reminded of the fact they could have just sat there. They could have cried out like the other blind people did and said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," just like Bartimaeus did. Now, in his case, he cried out so much that Jesus stopped what he was doing and he commanded him to be called to him. These guys got up from where they were and followed him. Now this reminds me of a scripture, and it's found in 2 Kings chapter 7. Do you remember the story of the four lepers, that were inside the gates of the city, and the Syrian army had encamped around the city, and they were basically blocking off any access to water, to any access to food, and basically just waiting all the people inside the city to die out. These four lepers were in there and they said, "You know what? We're going to die anyways. We might as well get up and go out there and say we're going to serve these folks. And because one way or another, we're going to die in here a slow, methodical death. Or we can get out on the limb and we can go out there and have a chance at living longer." And y'all know the story. When they got up and started moving, the Lord caused the Syrian army to hear horses and chariots and all this kind of stuff going on, and they freaked out and they left. And what did they leave? They left an open table full of food, treasures, valuables, and all kinds of stuff. And the lepers go out there, they see what's there, and they're able to freely eat. They have all this kind of stuff. My point is this, is that sometimes in order to be able to eat from the table that has been prepared before you in the presence of your enemies, you got to get up and do something. You can't just sit there waiting for it to happen to you. You got to get up and do something like these two blind men did. And they got up and followed the Lord. And stubbing their toes, risking falling down, all the negative things that could have been happening as a result of doing that. They did it as an act of faith. Amen? So how does that apply to us? It might be that in order for you and I to get the healing that we need in our life, we can't just sit there, I'm just waiting on the Lord to heal me. How many of you know there's probably tons of people back in Jesus' day waiting on it to happen to them, and you don't hear nothing about them? Why? Because they didn't get it. Because they're not written in the Scriptures. The people that are written in here, these 25 individual cases of healing, the majority of them did something radical. They did something that nobody else was doing. If you want to get different fruit than the majority, you've got to have different actions than the majority. That's why these things are in the Bible. Amen? So they're pursuing the Lord. They're following Him purposefully, deliberately. And what happens? They said something. Or they cried out and said. Now that's interesting because, you know, you can cry out, which means to raise your voice. Right? You can get loud and it just be the flesh. But you can also get loud and it be faith too. Amen? We saw that in Bartimaeus' example. When he was crying out and he didn't let nobody shout him down, that stopped Jesus. Amen? And Jesus called for him. In this case, these guys were crying out and they were saying. Okay? Now, what that tells me is there's an important principle here. You lifting your voice with a voice of triumph, shouting down the unbelief that might be in your heart and all this different stuff that it's feeding you, but you're also saying something. Saying something. Saying is sowing. Hear what I said? Saying is sowing, and sowing is saying. When you speak words, you're sowing seeds. Amen? And so what you say becomes very important when it comes to how all these things happen. Now, what were they saying? They were saying, Son of David, which was a reference to the Messiah. It's a show of honor and respect that we believe you're the coming Messiah. You are our Savior. Have mercy on us. Now, isn't that a reoccurring theme? Haven't we seen that over and over, that all the time these people were crying out for mercy? I've made the point that a likely reason for them always feeling like they needed to have mercy was because they lived under the law. And the law brought condemnation. The law always reminded them of how they had fallen short, always reminded them of all the things that they hadn't done. The law actually strengthened sin in our life. So because of that, they were constantly aware of their sin. They had a sin consciousness. So they always felt like they deserved it because under their covenant, if you diligently obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, kept all His commandments, He said He'd be the Lord that would heal you. So to them, it wasn't maybe so much of a surprise that He wasn't healing them because they were sin conscious. You understand what I'm saying? And so in this case, what happens? They're crying out for mercy. But the great thing is, they probably all deserve to be sick. But the Lord gave them healing anyways. Amen? Showing us that you don't always have to reap what you have sown. Amen? You can get mercy. You can get grace. You can get a crop of something maybe you haven't sown correctly and all the mistakes you have made and things like that, because all these guys did. Because what was it that trumped their own unfaithfulness? Their own faith. When they would choose to believe something. Amen? The Lord respects faith, y'all. When you are willing to believe Him, when you're willing to trust Him, when you're willing to deny all the evidence and all the facts that are around you and say, Lord, I'm going to believe You're able to do this, you can get it. Amen? So don't ever let the devil come and disqualify you and say, well, I guess I'm going through all this because of that dumb decision I made, because I made this mistake. You can be like Epaphroditus over in Philippians chapter 2. You remember this guy? This guy... Paul said that he had become sick even unto death,
But the Lord had mercy on him. Do you know what he was doing? Most people believe that the guy was overworking himself, that he was putting himself in harm's way. He was doing things that created him being in this sick and infirm position. But Paul said the Lord had mercy on him. He'll have mercy on you if you'll just cry out for it and say it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, so then what happens? And when he had come into the house, so what does this mean? And when Jesus had come in the house, he didn't respond to them. They were following him. They were crying out for mercy, but he just kept walking. Again, a consistent thing you saw in Jesus' ministry. He didn't always respond immediately to the people that asked for him to do something for them. And a lot of times, like when you look at the Syrophoenician woman, he'd call her a dog and just ignore her and all this kind of stuff. People look at it and say, oh, he's just being mean. He's being insensitive. He's being this and that. No, what you got to understand is there was a method behind his wisdom. And what was it? He's trying to pull something out of somebody. So like sometimes it might be that if somebody comes to me and asks me to pray for them, hey, would you pray for me? I'd like to receive healing right now. And I just say, and let's say this is a Sunday morning. I say, you know what? Come to my office 7 a.m. on Tuesday and I'll pray for you then. Sometimes the Lord might direct you to do that. Why? Because the person needs to stretch themselves more to be able to receive it. Amen? That's why Jesus did the things he did sometimes like this. He was doing it as the Father was directing him. So when Jesus had come into the house, what happened? The blind men came to him. Now I can see what happened. Jesus walks into the house, closes the door behind him. I mean, I'm just supposing something like this happens. He closes the door. You know what they did? They didn't take a closed door as evidence that it wasn't God's will. They could have said, oh, God closes doors that no man can open. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It must not have been God's plan for me today. And just turned around and left. It could seem that way if you don't have the, you can't read the end of the story here. How many of us that if Jesus would have done that, would we have turned away because he just shut the door in my face? We could be like the four friends, though, that were carrying the guy that was paralyzed. And when they came and there was no house, there was no seat in there, we can go up on the roof right here and let's start tearing apart this guy's roof to get down in there. And the Lord saw their faith. Amen? That's what these guys were doing. They kept on following the Lord, pursuing Him by faith. You'll see this in a second. So when they had come in, the blind men came to Him and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Now, this is such an important thing. You need to get this. I'm telling you, this is so important to understand regarding healing. It is not up to what God can do and what God's willing to do. That's not the variable. The variable is what can we believe that He can and will do. Why is that so important? Because when we're ministering to somebody, if we're on the other end of it, we're ministering healing to somebody, it's not all about, oh, God's able to do it right now. It's about where are they at? What can they receive? What are they willing to believe? Right? That's why we will ask people when we're praying for them is, what do you want the Lord to do for you today? What can you see happening today? Because our heart might be, oh, come up hither with me and get to my level of revelation to be able to know all that's available to you. And we try to pull people up to a place where they're not able to be yet because they got to take steps there, right? Find out where they're at, meet them there, and build up to it. Now, if they're there, praise the Lord, you can have it all. But the fact is, in this case, it's not about what God can do, it's what you can believe He can do. Do you remember when Jesus came to the Father? The Father had come to Jesus' disciples and the disciples were getting great results. Remember that? But they couldn't get any results with this boy that was riddled with, we know it was demonic, but it was like epilepsy. What happened? The Father comes to Jesus and said, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and heal my son. And I like what one translator said. When that guy said, if you can do it, one translator said that Jesus' response was, what do you mean, if I can? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. So again, it's not, can you do it, or are you willing to do it? It's, where am I at? So we need to seek to grow in this and groom our heart to be able to receive more and get where these guys were. So when he said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Now, I'm telling you, this is the minority right here would respond like that. Now, you'd say, well, no, most people would agree, yeah, that the Lord's able to do it. No, I'm not talking about agreeing in principle or theory. I'm talking about letting your words be few. Most people, all right, do you believe I'm able to do it? Well, yes, Lord, but... and just go on and on and on. And you're just like, man, say fewer things. Let your words be few when it comes to stuff like this. If the Lord asked you a question, like He would ask the prophets, you remember He came to, I think it was Elijah, and He would ask him, He would show him things, and He'd say, do you think this, or what do you think about this? And He would say, oh Lord, you know. How many of you know that's a good, humble response? Amen. If the Lord's asking you something like that, it's more likely you don't have the answers. So just be humble and say, Lord, you know. In this case, just say yes. It just takes a yes to receive from the Lord. Amen? Amen? So they say yes, and then they add the word Lord to it, meaning we're doing what you say. You're our Lord, and we're keeping your commandments. Then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And where was their faith at? Well, and their eyes were opened. So they had enough faith to believe our eyes can be opened in this situation. But I want you to notice how the Lord said, when He put His hands on them, He didn't say, according to my power, be it done unto you. He said, according to your faith. And the words there are very important. The terminology there is absolutely imperative to understand, because according to indicates something completely different. Like, for example, Philippians 4:19. We like this verse. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, first of all, you got to understand there is a conjunction at the beginning of that verse. And, which ties together what? What these Philippians had already been doing. Yep. See, a lot of people like to, oh, Philippians 4:19 is a promise to me. No, no, no. Read it in context. What were these Philippians doing that caused Paul to say the thing that he said? Because you guys had been faithfully giving, because you guys have been supplying all my need and have been faithfully partnering together with my ministry, is basically what he was saying. Because of that, my God is going to be the same God to you, and He's going to supply all your need. Right? But He said He'd supply it according to. Say it with me. According to. According to is really important, because when you look it up, it literally means in proportion to. So he's saying, in that case in Philippians, God's going to supply all your financial need in proportion to His riches and glory. Why is that important? Because say you got a millionaire, and a millionaire comes to you and says, hey, you got a financial need right now? Well, I'm going to supply your financial need out of my riches. Well, what does that mean? If a millionaire supplied for another person out of their riches, then they could give them anything. They could give you a $5 bill, $20 bill, $100 bill, because it's out of what they have. But if a millionaire provides for somebody else financially according to their riches, in proportion to their riches, then they're going to give you a whole lot more than 20 bucks, because it's got to be to the degree of how wealthy they are. You see that? So when the Lord says here, through the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit inspires him to say that God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory, then the Lord's going to provide you. Let me give you a couple of verses that might apply to that. How about Ephesians 3:20? What does it say? Let's look at it. Ephesians 3:20. What does it say? And God is able. Let's just say it. And God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ever ask or think. And that's the problem right there. We just ended that verse when it doesn't end there. What does it say? According to the power that works in us. So listen, we can all agree that our God is able. Most people believe that. Most people that go to church every day believe God can do anything. Oh, praise the Lord, I believe God can do anything. I'm going to pray for you right now for healing. What do you believe? I believe God can do anything. Well, that doesn't necessarily get results, believing God can do anything. In this case, he was saying that, and God can do, or God is able to do what? Exceedingly. That means to excel, to go above your own expectations. He's able to blow your mind. He is able to do exceedingly, to exceed abundantly. Didn't Jesus say in John 10:10 that I have come that you may have life more abundantly? This abundance is talking about that pressed down, shaken together, running over kind of stuff, you know? Abundance. So he's able to do exceedingly, to excel, abundantly, abound, and above all. So again, he's reemphasizing God is able to do more than you think he can do. So exceedingly, abundantly, above all, according to the power that works in us. Amen? And people will sit there, all right, if I were to ask somebody, say, well, what does that mean, according to the power? What's that power? And people will spit out all these theories and ideas. Read the verses in context. That's the end of a prayer. What did he say in the first part of the prayer? He said that God, according to His riches and glory, will do what? Strengthen you with power through His Spirit, where? In the inner man. There you go. So it all started off with, he was praying that God would fill you, strengthen you with power on the inside. Amen? A capacity, a strength would be developed on the inside of you so that you can get to this place where God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. And it's according to that power that you're going to be able to receive that. So the point is that what causes us to be able to receive this Ephesians 3:20 nature of God? It's by developing a capacity on the inside of us to receive it. 3 John 2, I quote it all the time. In fact, if you ever get a letter from me, I sign my name, I put on the end of the Y, 3 John 2, I love it. It says this, it says that God, my desire is that you would prosper in every area of your life and be in divine health. Just as, in proportion to, according to, your soul prospering. So what the Lord is constantly reemphasizing to us is, it's in proportion to how big your cup is on the inside. And why do I say it that way? Because Psalm 23 says, David got a revelation of this. He was ahead of his time, man. He was getting a revelation of what we have in the new covenant. And he says what? My cup runneth over. That means that God is pouring and pouring and pouring, and He will always exceed above all, overflow how much you have the ability to receive. So if that's happening, a lot of us are like little shot glass Christians. I say that because that's the smallest little thimble-like kind of little thing you can think of. Like, we got this bit much capacity on the inside of us to receive. God wants us to be big gulp Christians. 64 ounces, you know what I'm talking about? You can go to these places and you get them big old cups, man, loaded. He wants that to be the capacity. And guess what? He's still going to overflow that. But you'll be holding more than the people that got the little sippy cups. You see what I'm saying? That is what according to means. So in this case, Jesus turns to him and says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. So it wasn't what God was, it wasn't according to his riches here, it was according to their faith. In other words, what's going to supply this healing of your eyes being open is going to be how large your cup is, how much you, in proportion to, can believe from the inside. Amen? This is why I've traveled in a lot of different circles in my life of being a born-again Christian. I think I've been serving the Lord since, I guess it's about 2000 now, so 26 or so years. And I've been through different camps that believe in healing. I've been to the Benny Hinn meetings. I've been to the Kenneth Hagin meetings. I've been to the Andrew Womack meetings. I've been to a lot of different things. And you know what I've personally seen? The ministries that get the most results when it comes to healing are the ones that emphasize who you are in Christ, that emphasize grace. Why? Because what they're doing, this is my theory, this is Trayology, because in these groups what they do is they get your attention off of you and get your attention over on the Lord. And when your attention's over on the Lord and you're beholding Him and you're learning Him and you're coming to know Him, then guess what's happening on the inside of you? You're seeing Him greater, He's being magnified, and you're expanding on the inside. Your ability to receive is growing. Amen? And now you can get it because you've got the ability to hold it. Amen? So according to your faith, let it be to you. Is this just true for these two blind men 2,000 years ago, or is it true for us still today? Amen. Is it true that for Tammy, that it's according to her faith, that what her desire is and what she needs in her life, let it be to her? Amen. It's true for every person in here, including myself. And so what I need to be doing is not necessarily studying faith, but what I need to be doing is studying Him. Spending time with Him, coming to know Him. And as I do that, I am expanding on the inside. My soul is prospering. The power is being developed on the inside of me. And now I'm able to start handling His exceedingly abundantly kind of nature. That's what these guys did. And so their eyes were opened. Somebody say, praise God.
Praise God.
He still opens the eyes of the blind, both spiritually and physically. Amen. And then what did Jesus do? He sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they departed, they spread the news about Him in all that country. Okay? That was a common, consistent action, wasn't it? I mean, that was, a lot of times Jesus would say, hey, when you go back, don't tell nobody. Has y'all ever wondered why He does that? Why did Jesus always do that? There you go, Trent. I think that's probably one of the number one reasons. She said, so that you can't be talked out of your healing. Amen? I think that a lot of times, because people will do that. I'm telling you, the devil will plant people around you that will try to foster unbelief on the inside of you, get your eyes off the prize, and all these different things. And so a lot of cases, you've got to be very aware of who's walking with you through this. Who's following the Lord with you on this? And you need to see that because not all have faith. Paul said that. Not all have faith. Amen? But we need to be developing that on the inside of us. So in this case, these guys did what? In conclusion, they got up from their status quo of being blind people by the road and said, this guy's got our answers. So Joe, let's get up together. Let's hold hands and we're going to follow him. We make a decision that we're going to follow the Lord and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God, and guess what happens? All these things are added unto us when we do that, right? You think healing might have something, might be one of those things that's added to you? I'm telling you, just simply following the Lord, coming to know Him, and getting in the Word is one of the best things you can do. Amen. You get to understand Him more. You get to develop it. It leads you on a path that God has for you. So these guys got up. They followed the Lord. They didn't let a closed door hinder them. They went into the house. I mean, that was kind of rude, wasn't it? It wasn't their house. Who knows whose house they were in?
They had a good excuse.
They had a good excuse. Well, I mean, look, sometimes you don't have the. It's the impolite people that get it. Right? So they went in, and when Jesus saw these guys are willing to pursue and follow, what happened? Jesus said, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" And the terminology there is important. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Not do we believe. Not my church believes. Not Pastor Trey believes. Not Minton believes. No, not any of these things. It's do you believe? Are you following the Lord? And guess what? You can get it when nobody else around you is getting it. Amen? But I can promise you, you better not wait for everybody else to be trying to get it, because most don't. You've got to be the one that's willing to be the cat that caught the canary, amen? And you go after it, amen. And so, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, absolutely, yes, Lord. Simple answers in response, amen? And Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Amen? How many of you want your faith to expand on the inside? You want your soul to prosper. You want that inside part of you, the power to be developed, man. There's just energy coming out of you. Amen? That is the first step in the right direction. But the step, now listen to this, these guys were blind while they're making the steps. Amen. That means that, oh, I didn't wait till I had certain light and could see certain things before I go in there. Hey, start making steps in the right direction even when you're still walking through these things. Amen. That's why we'll have people that will be prayer ministers at the church praying for healing that still have sickness in their body themselves. People will hear that, or sometimes people will say, well, I can't pray for anybody. I'm still dealing with this in myself. Listen, if we never ministered to anybody because we're walking in 100% of everything, ain't nobody going to be ministering. I wouldn't be standing and teaching before you today because I'm not walking in everything. Right?
Right?
That ain't what it's all about. It's about your willingness. If you're still walking through it and you're still working it yourself, that doesn't mean God can't use you. That means God can't flow through you. Amen. And He will if you'll let Him and you don't let yourself be disqualified because of what the devil condemns you with. And their eyes were open, and Jesus basically said, hey, look, don't let nobody talk you out of your healing. Amen? This is what is available to us. This is in your Bible today, and you are here today hearing this word because the Holy Spirit wants you in this room to know it's according to your faith. You can have whatever you want if you'll just expand yourself on the inside, and then you will dare to believe. You'll dare to follow the Lord. You'll go to another level in this. You can have it. Whether it's walking in your recovery, being totally healed that way, or getting physical manifestation of healing in your body. Amen?